D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, and David Janes here with you. Silly Underdog picks coming up in the next segment. I will give you the cue to call to represent the people. If you do and win, you will win a pair of tickets to see Trevor Noah at the Ryman Auditorium on February 10th. So be listening for the cue to call. But in the meantime, let's bring in our friend Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. He is brought to you by A Moments Peace Salon and Day Spa in Cool Springs. Hello, Hutton. How are you?
I am doing great. How are you guys?
We are doing well, thank you. So we were just talking about Notre Dame, and more specifically, its athletic director, Pete Bavakwa.
Yes.
Willie, give us a good Bavakwa.
Bavakwa?
Yes.
Bavakwa.
He has been on a media rampage since the Fighting Irish were left out of the college football playoff committee. We even mentioned that Notre Dame briefly canceled a book signing for an author who was on the college football playoff committee. It has since been restored. But they did resort to that level of pettiness, even if it was just for a little bit. So what do you make of how Notre Dame has reacted publicly to everything that's been going on?
Well, the whole thing is petty. It's, you know, it's not very AD-like for Notre Dame, let's put it that way, or for any of them for that matter. Of course the ACC campaigned for the conference. You know, like, don't treat us like we're all stupid here. Of course they did. They would have campaigned not just for Miami. I bet they campaigned for their ACC champ, Duke. They didn't get that. And the ACC saw Virginia lose. That allowed Miami to get in. Had Virginia won, James Madison wouldn't be in. And Notre Dame's probably in the playoff. So that's what happened here. Here's also what's going on behind the scenes to me. Pete Bavakwa, correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't he a huge he was like VP or president of something with NBC Universal?
I believe that is correct.
So he knows the backstory with ESPN and Disney, and this is a ESPN-driven playoff.
He was the chairman and president of NBC Sports from 2018 to 2023.
There you go. So let's just say there's a history here, and ESPN loves to have Notre Dame. They have the ACC rights. They get Notre Dame on their network whenever Notre Dame plays on the road in the ACC. That's part of their agreement. And they get Notre Dame on their network for any bowl across America. So they feel slighted here. They're 10-2. I don't mind them calling out this process. I just don't agree with the argument. Like the ACC can't campaign for their teams. Correct me if I'm wrong. Would Notre Dame claim the ACC as a national champion if they won the championship? No. They're an eye test team. And I don't like the process as much as anybody else that doesn't like it. But don't act like the conference isn't supposed to campaign for money and payouts. They'd be guaranteed $8 million. And for every win, you'd get $4 million more. Meanwhile, Notre Dame gets in. They're not splitting the money with the ACC. They keep it all. There's a lot that goes into it. A lot of it has to do with ESPN and Bavakwa's background with them.
Hutton, the Heisman Trophy presentation is on Saturday. We know Diego Pavia is a finalist alongside Fernando Mendoza, Julian Sayin, and Jeremiah Love. It really does feel like a two-person race between Pavia and Mendoza. I haven't checked the betting odds today, but Mendoza has been, I would say, an overwhelming favorite in the betting markets, depending on which sports book you look at. How close do you think this vote ultimately will be?
It's going to be extremely close because Pavia is winning all the other awards right now. I'm saying like the media awards, the recognition from the media, which would be the voters. He's the CBS Player of the Year. You know, he's on threes Player of the Year. We could go down through all this. Quarterbacks have won the Heisman Trophy in 12 of the past 15 seasons. And this is the way it was going to go. Fernando Mendoza's had an outstanding year. Indiana's had an outstanding year. Maybe you guys agree, maybe disagree. This is right now, to me, the perception of the player and the program and the coach. And we've got an SEC Coach of the Year in Clark Lee. But when you think of Vanderbilt right now, you think about Diego Pavia. And you think about Kirk Cignetti when you think about Indiana. So I think that that's something to consider just based on the popularity contest, if you want to call it that. But I don't even have to go there to make the case that Diego Pavia should be the Heisman Trophy winner. You know, the defenses that Vanderbilt faced, while the teams weren't all that great in Auburn and LSU, their defenses were. And you know, we discuss who should be in there. Who's I mean, this is a significant award, life changing. The winner is introduced forever as the Heisman Trophy winning quarterback for the rest of their life. I mean, it's a big deal. We know that it's a big deal for Vanderbilt to get this stage. Same thing for Indiana. Mendoza will become the first player in Indiana to win it. But Pavia to me would be my vote, and he's the most valuable player to any team in the country. He's dominant in the air, through the ground, over 4,000 total yards. 71% of their offensive production is through him. That's while they face 70. He's 71% of their production of the number one Power Four teams in total offense. That's Vanderbilt. 36 touchdowns. This is extremely close, Adam, and I think it comes down to region, and it comes down to who's voted number two or number three. How many ballots will have say in at number two and have Pavi at three or have Mendoza at three? I don't think Mendoza ever gets a third place vote, though.
I like the optimism.
Well, I checked, Hutton, Sayin's odds of winning the Heisman Trophy were plus 70,000. So I'm not sure.
70,000?
Plus right. 70,000. Yeah. No, four zeros. Four zeros plus 70,000.
Yeah.
A couple days ago.
Well, Vegas is saying one thing.
All the polls. They're not polling 870 some odd people here. I don't even know how they become a Heisman voter, Willie, guys. If you do, let me know.
Well, one fan does get a vote, we learned. One fan.
One fan.
You could be a fan.
It could be you.
Yeah. You never know.
Yes. But like, I don't know if you guys can see me. I've got the Heisman hat from Pavion right now. Let's load up and win this thing. I mean, he's very deserving. And so has Mendoza. He's fantastic. So slight at him. But whenever on three or whoever's doing these straw polls, Pavi is a little bit ahead of Mendoza in these things. Now they're calling up some Heisman friends of theirs that are voters, and seeing how they're going to vote without mentioning their name. But there's no reason to lie about it if they're voting one way or the other. And I think it's going to be extremely close.
I think as it is every year, there is, especially when it's close like this, Hutt. There is a Heisman Trophy moment, and let me know if you agree with it. Okay. I think it's unfortunate that Diego didn't have another game to play.
No doubt.
Because had he been able to do that, what he did against Tennessee after or during the Big Ten Championship that weekend, then I think there would have been a different view on Diego. But because his performance, it was a great performance, but it was a week prior. Mm-hmm. Mendoza comes in, and Mendoza doesn't play a bad game, and it's not great, but he makes a Heisman moment. Do you think they look more at that and him being the number one, them being the number one team and them beating the number one team in Ohio State?
Yes. Yes, they do. The recency bias there. It does matter playing on that weekend versus not. I could argue his Heisman moment was his post-game interview.
Yeah, we've been talking
about the top.
Yeah,
we have talked about it. Yes.
Meanwhile, Clark Lee's not even asked about the college football playoff. Whenever they win at Tennessee, it's bizarre. And then let me also say, Fox did an incredible job of only mentioning two of the three quarterbacks for the Heisman finalist. They were mentioned. The Heisman comes down to these two on the field. Mm-hmm. That's because of their television contracts, right? They're pumping up their guys. They've got the game. But Pavi is not going to be forgotten about here. He has done a tremendous job. I think what's been underrated, he's the only quarterback of these guys, or really anybody, that's on social media so much, that's doing the media, that's trending on YouTube and on, wherever you want to find him. He's an algorithm. Mm-hmm. he's been on top of mind because he's on your phone all the time. And some of these voters tend to go with groupthink, and they vote the way their buddies do.
Now, Michigan has fired their coach, and listen, I'm not singing some swan song for them or pity for them. I have none whatsoever. I don't want to get into why they fired him. That's not the issue here. But where does this job now rank? I know the interim is going to be the defensive coordinator, I believe, somebody on that team.
Biff Poggi.
Yeah, to coach the bowl. But how attractive and who do you think goes to the top of their list?
I mean, I was texting with Withrow about this right before we joined you, about like who at the late process, they're really one of one now of the jobs, and that's a great job. They usually go with a Michigan man, right? Like that's what they say. I would say starting to look around. So it was Lance Leipold was in the running the last time that they hired Sherrone Moore. They did talk to Lance Leipold. He was mentioned for Michigan State, was he not?
I think so.
Maybe the state of Kansas for it. But, I mean, he's won. I wouldn't – Kalen DeBoer has been mentioned for Penn State. I don't know if they if Michigan wants to pick up the phone and ask him about, you know, Bama for a college football playoff team. But, again, this is the time of year where you get the portal. Things are not ideal for them. And they have the associate head coach, Biff Poggi, who was a member of Harbaugh's staff prior to getting the job at Charlotte, the head coaching job. And now he's back there. So they're not unfamiliar. He's not unfamiliar to them. So do you stabilize it there or do you look outside? They'll do their due diligence. And they don't have to call anybody. People mm-hmm. will call them.
Now, Hutt, Tennessee. And we've talked about this season and was it a success or how do fans look at this season based upon the expectations coming in? And you're going to get a wide range of opinions on that one. But the program in itself, because I know it's more so recency bias, but I do believe in what Vanderbilt's doing and how they're building their program. What is the thought on UT's program? Because there's just, at least from my standpoint, they're not going into the offseason with the same buzz they had last year.
No.
And maybe because they're not in the college football playoffs, I understand
sure.
that.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
still, it's just something just not right about what's going on. And I'm not saying they're going to be a bad – I'm just saying there's sure. just something – it just doesn't look or feel right, you know, the way the season ended for UT.
Yeah, let me ask you guys this, because Willie, dive in on this too.
Okay.
The perception now, we've got a five-star quarterback committed to Georgia who flipped and went to Vandy, and Tennessee was never mentioned. Now, I know they've got their own five-star, but that also includes two running backs, four stars that are flipped. You've got another wide receiver who's at Bama who's flipped three-star. I don't care about the stars. It's where they're committed. And, you know, maybe the writing's on the wall with the portal coming in. But still, if this were 5-10 years ago and that were happening, this would have been a big story across the state. And I mean, maybe it is it's not in Knoxville. They've got the portal. They're crushing it there. But it's interesting that you have the five-star quarterback in state that ends up flipping and going to Vandy with Clark Lee and what they're doing. Now, the momentum's there. And you're right, Mace. I lean your direction here on momentum. They've got to figure out some things defensively, and they've done that with their defensive coordinator hire. So as you start to look around, it's you got the new defensive coordinator coming in paired with the offense where you find out who's going to be playing quarterback next year. And maybe we get some semblance of that in the bowl game. I don't know. I'm going to be interested to see how many fans turn out to the Music City Bowl because normally you just sell that sucker out.
Yes. How many times have they played there, Hutt?
Three times. They played against
North Carolina. Nebraska, the controversial Purdue. Ending was the one.
Purdue, I think, right?
Purdue sounds right. So third time or fourth time?
I think so. I believe so. But I mean, the Music City Bowl doesn't want Tennessee wouldn't want to stay in Tennessee for the bowl game every other year. But there are some years where it fits, and this year it did, just based on the fact that Missouri had been here last year. Vanderbilt, it's not a reward to play down the street in a bowl game as a 10-win team. So I'm sure the SEC didn't want that to happen.
By the way, Hutton, it will be the Vols' fourth Music City Bowl appearance.
So they did play three.
They topped Nebraska 38-24 in 2016.
Great atmosphere.
They lost 30-27 in double overtime to Carolina in 2010. Okay.
There's something really weird happened at the end of that game. I don't remember exactly.
And lost 48-45 in overtime to Purdue in Heupel's first season in 2021.
Packed house there, too. Purdue traveled well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Illinois. So, you know, hey, the basketball crowd is outstanding for Illinois.
No doubt.
You know, Illinois traveled. So let's see what they bring to the table.
Hutt, if we use Robert Saleh as an example, looks like he's going to be a sought-after head coach. If you're a head coach and you feel like you might end up having choices – and not just you got to take whatever team offers you a job. What would you think of Cam Ward if you're Robert Saleh?
I would be thinking more about my offensive coordinator hire. I'd be trusting him. Because that's the only way he gets this job, Willie. He's got to come in with a great offensive coordinator. Otherwise, why are you going defense at head coach?
Okay, so maybe Saleh is not the right guy. I guess I'm saying if you're a head coach, do you look at Cam Ward and say,
"Oh,
I'll hitch my wagon to him. I think I can win with him."
It's an incomplete at best. You're betting on yourself, right? Because, I mean, you're betting on yourself and you're betting on the fact that he has the traits that you can develop. But, no, I mean, I can't come in here and say that right now. I can't sit and say he's going to be the guy. But it's also, weren't we asking the same thing about Mariota whenever Vrabel took the job?
Sure.
It's sold as he's coming in to fix Mariota and move forward or whatever, right? And then all of a sudden, here's Harp.
Okay, well, let's go back to that time.
Yeah.
Don't you think Mariota had flashed some games
higher
level than Cam Ward has flashed at this point?
Yes, 100%. 100%. And again, like, there have been moments, but few moments of flash for Cam Ward. I mean, he's frustrated after a win. He should be. He didn't play well. We haven't seen that. There's nothing we can – we're seeing Shedeur Sanders play well in three games, right? I mean this in, like, regards to comparing the two, and that's unfair, but it's they're going to be linked together. We haven't seen even – we've seen a handful of those plays this year. It's viewed as a win for a 30-yard completion in the fourth quarter. I mean, the way they've won games, it hasn't been – if you told me they scored 31 points – I would have expected going in to watch the game that the player of the game was going to be the quarterback. And I mean, you got to go down a pretty large list from Sunday before you mentioned Cam Ward's name.
Jonathan Hutton has been our guest on D-Mays, Ving, and Adonik. He joins us every Wednesday at 5 o'clock, and he is brought to you by A Moment's Peace Salon and Day Spa in Cool Springs. Hutton, great stuff as always, my friend. We'll catch up next week.
Click, buy, print, amomentspeace.com. Thank you, guys. I'll be listening to Silly Underdog Picks. I don't know how you're doing it this week. I look forward to finding out.
Well, you can all find out coming up next, 615-737-1025, because it is time for Silly Underdog Picks Bowl Edition. And Willie Donick is the commissioner. He's got the rules. We'll lay it out for you coming up next. 615-737-1025. Now is not the time to call, by the way, for the people's pick. I will let you know. So don't call right now, because David James will hang up on your ass. Don't do it. 615-737-1025. Silly Underdog Picks coming up next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025 The Game. You hear that music, you know what time it is. It's time for Silly Underdog Picks, presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. It is bowl season, so we're going to have some interesting rules. Without any further ado, let's turn it over to the commissioner, Willie Donick.
Ooh, 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 Willie. Oh, Willie D. Willie.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another afternoon of Silly Underdog Picks, presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. The 31st year of competition. The regular season has ended, and that means it's bowl season. Three games remaining in the season. So it is time to do very important math, people. If you are in the lead, it's like Final Jeopardy. How many points do I need? How many points can the other guys get? So you've got to keep this in mind when you make your picks. Joining us once again, our panel, Adam Vingan, Derek Mason, and on the lines, we've got Chris Sanders, and hopefully, Hal Gill.
We are efforting Hal Gill, but Chris is here.
Hal Gill. I don't think it'll be quite as dramatic as last week to find Hal.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was on the beach. He was on the beach, and it was dark, too, but somehow Hal came off of the beach and made the pick at the final moment. But you had to be there to experience the drama of that. Let's first start by reviewing what happened last week. Well, after the fire, to serenade us behind us, Adam Vingan is very excited about this announcement right here, because he took the Hoosiers of Indiana, a 4.5-point dog, against the Ohio State University, where Chris Sanders once galloped up and down the field for the Buckeyes. And Indiana, up at Lucas Oil Stadium, got the W, 13-10. Ohio State had the lead. A big stop by Indiana, and then the big clutch throw by Mr. Mendoza took him over the top, and then Ohio State missed about the easiest field goal inside that you'll ever see.
Kickers.
How did he miss it?
Kickers.
How did he miss it?
Why?
Anyway. So Adam Fingan picks up 4.5 points. He goes to 33 on the season, and he solidifies his hold on second place. Adam, your reaction.
If I may channel my inner Fernando Mendoza. This is the greatest thing ever. Thank you to Indiana. I'm so happy. Let's go. Let's go.
That is still the craziest interview I think I've ever heard. And because it was so out of nowhere, you just had no idea it was going to come out of his mouth.
You didn't know that was going to come out of his mouth.
Yeah.
Sounding like that.
And it did. Yes.
That's hilarious.
Chris Sanders had the next pick. As usual, going deep. He took Troy, a 23.5-point dog in the Sun Belt Championship game against James Madison.
The Trojans made it interesting.
They did They did play well. They were in it for a while.
Yeah.
But ultimately, and they covered, but as you know, unless you're a beginner to this contest, no points for a cover in silly underdog picks. The underdog must win outright. 31-14, the final. Chris, did you watch?
Yeah, I did a little bit, but as long as you give it your all, that's all that matters. That's all that matters.
That's what losers say.
See, exactly.
That's his message to the kids, Derek.
And that's what losers say.
You know, kids,
what does Derek like to say about those kids?
Yeah,
like, what does Derek say about those kids?
Forget them damn kids, okay?
F them kids.
Shoot. Loser.
Come on, man. It's Christmas, D-Man.
It's not about wins and losses. It's how you play the game. Yeah.
Push the shit.
Keep taking the high road, Chris. Keep taking the high road.
He is. I know. Hey, but Teron told me to tell you who you look like. He told me to do this. He said you look like Papa Smurf. That's what he told me. He told me to tell you that. He told me. That's what he said. Don't blame it on me.
Teron didn't say that. Stop that lying. Stop that. Hey, Chris. Stop that lying. Chris. Hey, Chris. Chris, stop that lying. Stop that lying.
Wow. That was a singer. And, you know, it's tough when you're on top, D-Mace. That's what it is.
Hey, man, wind blows harder when you're on top, man.
Here's why, okay? You just took a shot right to the ribs. But your pick last week was South Dakota. You went into the FCS, dipped in there. A 6.5-point dog at Mercer, long trip. Not only did they win, they won 47-0.
Wow.
So D-Mace picks up 6.5 to add to his lead. He now goes to 45 points. D-Mace, you had the good scattered. Who gave you the tip on South Dakota?
Hey, listen, y'all remember that Eagle? Back in the day, Willie?
That's right.
You remember the Eagle, right?
I feel like he got inebriated a few times.
Yeah, he did. But you remember. And now that I am so high right now, like in the sky, I'm on the top. That's why I'm wearing my scarf and my glasses, because the wind's blowing so hard up here at the top.
You're able to brush off the insults
I'm able to brush them off, man. So, but this is where we fly now. We fly.
Flying up, high.
We flying high, people.
All right. That brings us to Hal Gill with his exciting animated pick last week from the beaches of South Florida. He took Rhode Island, where both of his daughters, Izzy and Soph, they play for the Rams on the lacrosse team. Rhode Island made the playoffs in the FCS. They were going way out west to UC Davis. So let's set the scene. We're on the plane coming back from Carolina, and we are keeping close tabs on the Rhode Island-UC Davis game. So, Hal, take it from there. What happened?
I don't know.
They got off to a good start.
Rhodey was rolling, the Rams were charging, and we went up in the air, and when we landed, it was all over. It became a massacre the other way.
When we left Raleigh, it was promising. When we landed in Nashville, it was over.
It was 20-10 when we took off.
Yeah.
And we lost the beat on it, and I was trying to check, and I couldn't get a connection. When we landed, it was 44-20, and it was over.
Final score, 47-26.
Story of my first year in this league, or whatever we call this silly underdog picks.
Well, you're still in third place, Al.
Yes,
there's
not over with,
three,
Al.
There's three picks to go.
Not over with.
There's three picks to go. So let's quickly go over what we have. Here's what we have on the slate for this week. We're going to divide it up into three different sessions. We used to take a week off and then pick all the bowl games,
pick three picks.
We're going to go one this week. We're going to skip next week because we want to see what happens after the first round of the college football playoffs. Mm-hmm. And then right before Christmas, we'll make a pick with the next batch of games. And then right before New Year's, we'll have our last pick. So strategize for that. Here are the standings. Right now, in first place, D-Mace with 45 points. Adam in second with 33. He has moved up from the bottom, by the way. At one point, he was in last, and he was getting the barbs. Hal is in third with 25, and Chris Sanders.
Who's in last?
Chris Sanders. Chris Sanders, 21.5.
The Chris Sanders?
Yeah, absolutely. That guy?
Ohio State Buckeye, forever tight.
Tippy? Tippy Darles? He's last?
So here's what we have. We have the Army-Navy game, should you choose to accept it. We have the L.A. Bowl, whatever that is, Boise State and Washington. We have the four FCS quarterfinal games Saturday. Then we have all the bowl games between December 16th and 22nd. And, of course, the first round of the college football playoff, which is coming up not this Saturday, but next Saturday. So, all told, there are 17 games to choose from in this pod, if you will.
So, all games through December 22nd.
That's basically
so,
what it was.
So, keep that in mind for the people's pick.
Yes.
The bowl game you choose, if you're the people's pick, has to be between now and December 22nd. So, keep that in mind if you're thinking of
Thanks,
a pick.
Adam.
You're welcome, Chris.
All right. So, speaking of Chris, tippy toes Sanders, let's go to him. He's got the floor.
All right, here we go.
Lionel.
Oh, no. You're in last place once again.
That's cold, man. That's cold, man.
In last place. Go ahead, pick, Chris. Don't be scared.
I know, man. I'm mad right now because I got 21 points. But guess what? Somebody's going to be mad when I make this pick. I'm going with Boise State over Washington. Let's go. Okay.
That was right on my list.
Okay.
I will say that's one of the lower lines that Chris has ever taken in this.
That's
he usually goes big.
Are you sick, Chris? Something's wrong.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's the only one I can
find. It is, one of the bigger ones.
That is downright conservative for Chris Sanders.
It is kind of conservative. But you got to go with what you got in front of you. So the Broncos of Boise State.
Oh, let's go.
They won their league, right? Mountain West, they won their title. They are a 9.5-point dog against Washington, who plays in the Big Ten.
Yes.
Yeah.
Why? I don't know.
We were certain, Chris, that you were going to take JMU.
Yes,
we were certain of it.
How much was the line?
21.5.
Can I switch it?
Nope.
No. Nope.
Dang.
Card laid.
Card played.
All right. Okay. So Chris Sanders has it down. He takes the Broncos. And that brings us to the leader in the clubhouse right now with three games to play. It's the Sparty himself, Derek Mason.
I wasn't ready for that.
Yes. Oh,
go ahead, Papa Smurf. Make that pick.
I am not making my pick until my theme song is played. Well, my theme song. Y'all got me, though. Y'all got me. That's a good one. That was a good one.
It's tough at the top.
It's tough at the top. It's tough at the top, man.
There we go. There we go.
It's tough at the top, I understand it, man. I worked so hard to be at the top, and it's still tough up there, man. Whew, all right. With that being said, I was going to go to my good friend's, his son's team, and pick Kennesaw State, but I'm not going there because that's like picking Michigan State for me. So with that being said, I am going with Memphis.
Go!
North Carolina State, baby!
Let's go, Tigers, go, baby!
Let's go!
That was my number one choice.
Yes!
Memphis is a six-point dog playing in the Gasparilla Bowl.
Hell
at
yeah.
Raymond James Stadium in Tampa, the same stadium that Vanderbilt will be playing.
That's true.
When they go down to what used to be called the Outback Bowl, and I can't even remember what it's called.
The ReliaQuest Bowl.
The ReliaQuest Bowl, where they'll play the Hawkeyes. We'll get to that one down the road. But first things first, Memphis is going down there to try to get a win, a six-point dog against the Wolfpack. All right, that brings us to Hal Gill trying to move up from third place.
All right. Well, you know what, fellas, I haven't been paying much attention, but I think I have to go with Vandy.
It is not eligible.
Vanderbilt
is ineligible because they do not play until December 31st.
You can take them. You can possibly take them down the. I don't even know if they're underdogs. Do we even have that? But
they're. I believe they may be an underdog.
I'm still bitter, you guys. I'm sorry. I'm still bitter.
What? How?
I wanted them in the first round.
How? I got
a
question.
To see them roll. I was excited about it.
Okay.
And so because they're not in there, I'm going to blow up the system, and I'm going to take the most points I can for the worst team there is, and I'm going to go with JMU for the win.
Ah, so there was motive. He set the panel up by throwing Vanderbilt out there, and then he's going big with the Dukes. A very Sanders-esque. A Sanders-esque pick.
Well, this could put you. They could. This could put you on the top, Hal.
They ain't gonna win.
That's what I'm looking for.
James Madison. James Madison is going on the road to Oregon as the 24th ranked team in the country. Oregon is a 21.5 point favorite. So the Dukes for 21.5 against the Ducks. The Dukes and the Ducks.
There we go. Who you think going
college football playoff, Autzen Stadium. That is Saturday, December the 20th, a 6:30 start on TNT. Yeah, so I know I'll probably be that guy flipping around. Where are the games? Where are the games? It's on TNT. All right, that brings us to Adam Vingan, currently 12 points behind the leader.
So, I'm also considering, you mentioned, Derek, taking Kennesaw State over Western Michigan. That is a four-point spread. That's an intriguing matchup. But I'm going to go with my heart here, and I am going to go with the Old Dominion Monarchs to defeat the South Florida Bulls in something called the Staff DNA Cure Bowl.
Ooh, wow.
South Florida is a 5.5-point favorite.
Okay.
Ah, yes. Now, what is the name of the bowl again?
The Staff DNA Cure Bowl.
The Staff DNA.
At Camping World Stadium in Orlando.
Just rolls off the tongue.
No, it's not staff infection. It's staff, like S-T-A-F.
You got to have staff? You got to have staff to go to the game?
I don't know what Staff DNA is.
I attended many bowl games in the
staff?
In the old Citrus Bowl. It even was called the Tangerine Bowl once upon a time when I first moved to Orlando. So I saw
staff
a lot.
Staff canceled Tangerine Bowl? No, I'm messing with you.
And here was my highlight in the Tangerine Bowl or the Citrus Bowl. Field goal kicking contest.
Willie Donick.
1983. 12-year-old Donick wins the 12 and under age group. The winning, everybody at their age group competes now for tickets to see the Super Bowl in Tampa at the Big Sombrero, Marcus Allen and the Raiders against the then Redskins with John Riggins, Joe Theismann, those guys. Donick from 25 yards out, he was money in the against his age group. Mm-hmm. Now he's got to do it with pressure on. Hooks it to the right. Dang it! I could have been at the Super Bowl.
Was it a automatic hook, like you, as soon as it came
no,
off your foot?
No, I thought it had a chance.
Oh, okay.
I thought it had a chance. It was replayed on the TV stations that night, too. I was excited to see myself, but
we need to find this footage.
Yeah, we got to find the footage.
It's there somewhere. All right, let's recap. This is what we have for Week 16. Chris Sanders, right now in last place, but still within striking distance, trying to piece his way back into it.
What place?
Going a little fourth.
Okay.
Fourth in a field of four. So last. He takes the Boise State Broncos in the L.A. Bowl, a 9.5-point dog against the Washington Huskies. Derek Mason, a.k.a. I'm not going to say it, D-Mason. I'm not going to do it to you. We've already played the theme song. He's got 45 points. He takes the Memphis Tigers, a 6-point dog against NC State, and they are playing down in Tampa in the Gasparilla Bowl. Is that right?
Yes.
The Gasparilla Bowl. You said it.
Yeah. Hal Gill, right now in third place, 20 points back, is going big. He is going in the college football playoff first round and selecting the Dukes of James Madison, a 21.5-point dog as they take on fifth-seeded Oregon out in Eugene. If Hal could win this game, it would shock the football world, and he could mm-hmm. find himself in first place.
Yeah.
He could. And then Adam Vigan, right now 12 points behind, trying to chip away at it, selects the Monarchs of Old Dominion. They're playing down in Orlando. 5.5-point dogs against the South Florida Bulls in what used to be called the Citrus Bowl. Now it's got Camping World Stadium.
World Stadium.
Okay. Well, two picks to go after this week. Let's see what happens. A little time. Guys, mm-hmm. enjoy the little break. We'll talk to you before Christmas. And, gentlemen, good luck.
Hey, man, it's freezing up here. Whew. Wind is blowing up at the top. What is it looking like down there for you, Chris?
Shut up.
Oh, man, y'all enjoy y'all week, but I hope y'all lose y'all games, okay?
Yes. Good really luck do. To everybody. Hal, Chris, good luck. Now thank it's you. your turn to pick. 615-737-1025, the first caller, will represent the people, and if you are correct, you will win a pair of tickets to see Trevor Noah at the Ryman Auditorium on February 10th. Reminder, the game you pick must be played through December 22nd. That's the limit. 615-737-1025. The first caller could win a pair of tickets to see Trevor Noah at the Ryman Auditorium on February 10th. Call now. 615-737-1025. We'll wrap up the show next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025 The Game. Smashville Live is coming up next, live from Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue, starring Luke Evangelista and Nick Blankenberg. Preds Insiders with Willie Dunnick and Adam Vingan at 7 o'clock, so you'll get your hockey fix right here on 102.5 The Game. But it's time to get our people's pick. Let's go to our phone line and welcome in Dr. Locke. Dr. Locke, welcome to the competition. Your selection, please.
What's going on, fellas?
What's happening? Who you got?
Hey, I want to start off by saying I love the ODU love. That's where I went to school. I was a Monarch.
Raised in Virginia Beach.
Oh, absolutely. 757 through and through.
Damn right.
So, but, you know, my heart, I was born, well, I can't say born. I raised Virginia Beach, born Akron, Ohio. So we got love for the OH.
All right. So what do you got? What's the pick?
Oh, the U. Oh, over.
Oh, you're going with the U. Okay.
Oh, always go against the SEC. give me the U, baby.
Okay, Miami is a 3.5-point dog as they take on Texas A&M in the college football playoff down at Kyle Field, College mm-hmm. Station, Texas. That game is an early one on the 20th, 11 a.m. on ABC.
So good luck, Dr. Locke. If that pick hits, you will be going to see Trevor Noah at the Ryman Auditorium on February 10th. So good luck to you, sir. One texter during Silly Underdog Pick said that I should be penalized 10 points for my take on In-N-Out Burger to start the show.
So that guy that texted you, he would camp out for the burger?
Yes. No. All I'm saying is this. I turned on Fox 17 this morning, and they had a reporter at the In-N-Out Burger. I believe it was the one in Lebanon. It was before the sun had risen, and there were people lined up for In-N-Out Burger. Now, if I'm not mistaken, these locations are the easternmost locations of In-N-Out in our country. I think that's right. So I get it. You may have never had the opportunity to go to the West Coast to have In-N-Out Burger, but I'm telling you, it's not worth waiting in line for at the crack of dawn, even before the crack of dawn. That's all I'm saying. I like In-N-Out. I'll be going, but I'm not going to be camping out. That's all I'm saying.
I want to know who was the first person to actually get a burger today, this morning, from In-N-Out Burger. Who was that guy or gal?
I don't know.
It? Top of the morning with yes. the burger? What time would that have been?
Were they open at what, 5:30?
No, I don't think they serve breakfast.
Oh, yeah, they don't serve breakfast, huh? Oh, wow.
8 o'clock, 9 o'clock,
yeah,
something like that.
Can you get a burger that early?
I guess so.
One texter said, a little late to the party. I was showering. Great. The only time
TMI.
The only time I waited for a burger for hours or outside any store like that for some time was in college when a McDonald's opened. They were giving out 100 meal passes to the first 100 people who entered the store at midnight. So we got there at like 8 p.m. and ended up being roughly 100th in line. As midnight drew near, some people let others cut in line. I ended up like 102nd in position. I did get 20 meal passes, though.
Okay, I can see that because you're getting more than just what you're buying that day. But if they just – you're paying $35 for a burger and fries, I'm not getting up that early to be the first person to get that burger and fries.
I wonder if that inspired – the Larry David chat and cut.
Ooh.
How do y'all feel about chat and cut?
The chat and cut is a bad, you can't do that.
No, the chat and cut is forbidden.
You cannot do that.
Forbidden. So for those of you who don't watch Curb Your Enthusiasm, Larry David, as you might expect, and a lot of us too, was against people who would approach somebody in line who was ahead of you in line, and they would start chatting with that person. And in the midst of chatting, would just blend into the line. They would cut the line because they were chatting with somebody in the line.
Yes.
That's a big no-no. Yeah.
Yes. And Larry David lets that person know in no uncertain terms. He goes,
no chatting.
I see what you're doing.
Now, in a different situation, he was granted the opportunity to cut in line at a buffet because he had already gone through the line once. Mm. And the person said, when you're getting seconds, you can just go right up to the buffet. You don't have to wait in line for seconds.
No, you got to wait in line.
I believe that's what happened.
Yeah, you got to wait in line.
But the chat and cut, I'm very anti-chat and cut. Yeah. I've seen it in person.
What if they're family members?
Kids?
Yeah, what if it, like the wife come in later or the husband comes in or the two, you know?
Here, I will make an exception for, like, if you're getting in line – and it's like let's say Bridget and I are going somewhere, and I get in line, she parks the car.
Okay.
Like, I think that's okay.
Yeah, that's cool.
But
yeah.
But it's not like.
Technically, though,
it's
that
not,
could be
technically
could be accused.
But it's not like if I were in line and Willie comes up to me and goes, "Hey, Adam, what's going on? Let's catch up. Let's talk about the show." And then he just sort of
blends in.
No. I'd say, "Willie, get your ass back there."
You know where this really comes in? It becomes tough at the movie theater. Like your movie's starting in about 5 minutes. You want to see the previews. Mm-hmm. And then you got dad, mom parking the car, and then all of the kids they all come into the line. And are they getting food before you, but they're getting not popcorn, they're getting seven popcorn.
Oh,
seven drinks.
And you're like, you're looking at your watch. Movie starts in a minute.
I will say, on Black Friday, I took my son to see Zootopia 2 at the movie theater. And as we were parking, there was another family getting out of their car, and they had like five kids.
Were you trying to beat them?
I picked up Arlo.
Yeah. You ran the bootleg.
I picked up Arlo.
Yes.
And I said, come on, buddy, we're going to be late. And I hauled ass because I didn't want to be behind the seven people in the family.
I would have did the same thing.
That's
so
legal.
I don't blame you.
That's legal. Hustle. That's called hustle. Yes.
That is hustle.
That's hard play right there.
I didn't want to wait behind the five kids deciding what candy they wanted or the popcorn or the hot dog.
Hey,
no.
I don't blame you. I would have did the same thing.
I go in with a game plan. I want popcorn, bunch of crunch, and a soda.
Are you a bunch of crunch person?
Hell
yeah.
Give me
some. I'm a bunch
damn
of
straight.
Person. There we go.
We found common ground.
Yes,
absolutely.
That's right. That'll do it for us today. An eclectic show, I guess you could say. But that's why we love to
In-N-Out Burger, yes. Papa Smurf,
yes.
Chat and Cuts,
Bavakwa.
Bavakwa.
We covered it all, and we will do so again tomorrow at 3 o'clock. We will be live at Bridgestone Arena, where the Predators will host the Blues. Elliot Friedman will join us at 5 o'clock to tell us what he's hearing around the NHL. But Smashville Live with Max Herz, Kara Hammer, Luke Evangelista, and Nick Blankenberg coming up next.
Be loved, love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, and wonderful day. I love you. The team love you. You hear that song? Don't you forget about us, because we won't forget about you. We will see you tomorrow, 3 p.m. on 102.5 The Game. Peace.